All right, beloved, thank you for tuning in to the podcast today. Hope you've had a good week. I want to pick back up in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Last week we preached on the subject, we ain't sitting. This week I want to preach on the subject, we ain't quitting. Amen. We got too many quitters in our day. We don't need to be quitting on God, quitting on the church, quitting on our families. Just need to stay with God. So 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 32. The Bible said, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." He's speaking of Goliath. "Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine." Let's read verse number 51. The Bible says, "Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Then we'll read verse number 54. "And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent." And David, in verse 32, announces publicly what he's going to do. Verse number 51, he does what he said he was going to do. And in verse number 54, he brought the head all the way back to Jerusalem, the head of Goliath. Amen. He has went a little further, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. David has went the second mile. And not necessarily in words, but in action, David, by his action, announces to the whole nation of Israel and even the Philistines, "We ain't quitting." David in Acts said, "Hey, you guys stand up there on the side of that hill all you want to, but we're not quitting. We're not turning back. We're going to do this job and finish it for the glory and the grace of God." Well, there's several reasons why we can't quit today. First of all, let's talk about because of the Father that had commissioned him. Amen. Chapter 17, verse number 17. You read it with me. The Bible said, "And Jesse said unto David, Take his son, take now for thy brother and an ephah for this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren." He's been commissioned of his Father to do what he's doing. He didn't go down there because he necessarily wanted to, because there was a need, or maybe, amen, there's a burden, but there was a call that came ringing from his daddy's voice to David's ears, and David submitted to this call. David surrendered to this call. David didn't say, "I don't feel like going. I don't want to. I'm scared of the battle." No, David just did what his Father told him to do. Neighbor, there may be somebody here today. You're thinking about throwing in the towel, quitting on God. Don't forget that God has commissioned us to do what we're doing. You're a missionary. God called you to do it. You're a pastor. God called you to do it. You're an evangelist. God has called you to do it. And neighbor, we've got to do what God has commissioned us to do. Now, Jesse didn't send David empty-handed. And when God calls a man, God ain't going to call send him empty-handed. He's going to give him something to take. He's take the parched corn. He's took the loaves. He's took the cheese. Amen. The parched corn and the loaves, these two things have been through the fire. They had to, I wouldn't want to say suffer, but in typology, what God has given us to carry to this world, it has been through the fire. Amen. Jesus, our friend of Calvary, died on the cross, suffered the fiery judgment of Almighty God for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Amen. We're taking out gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been through the fire. He's given us a King James Bible. It's been through the fire. Amen to God. Amen. He didn't send him empty-handed. Then he sent the cheese. Amen. This was up for the captains. Amen. A little extra to help you get along down the road. And while you're there, God wanted him to check on the brethren. I'm reminded of what Cain said about Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the answer to that question is yes. The Bible said, "Let brotherly love continue." And part of the call of God on any preacher's life is to make sure that the brethren are fair and well, and that the gospel's being preached. Amen. At the will of God's being done. Now, there's four things that come along by with being commissioned of God. First of all, there'll be an anointing. David has already received the anointing. There'll be a burden. When God calls a man, he'll give him a burden. Now, according to verse number 22, he had a carriage to help, but he still had to load the carriage, he still had to unload it, and then he still had to carry it and distribute it. There'll be a burden. Oh, God puts a burden on his man's heart and on his people's heart. Not for sinners dying without God and going to hell. Only a pastor can understand what a burden for to be a pastor is. Only an evangelist can understand what a burden to have revival is. is, and only a missionary could understand fully well aware. We might experience some of one another's burdens, but neighbor, when God puts that burden on you, and He sends you to do the will of God, amen, be not only an anointing, not only a burden, but then there'll be a message. He's got a message, amen, this is from Daddy. Amen, God calls a man, He'll give him something to preach, amen, right there. But then nextly, He gave him specific direction. I mean, when God calls somebody, amen, you ain't going to be wandering around out in the desert or out in the wilderness. Amen, you know exactly what God wants you to do, and where God wants you to go, and what God wants you to be. I mean, Jesse told David exactly what to do, exactly what to take, exactly where to go. Amen, he didn't have to wonder what his daddy wanted him to do. And I'm glad, thank God, when you get close to God, you can know exactly the will of God. Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, or chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, rather. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You can know God's will. You don't have to live in the dark about the will of God. Just stay close enough to where you can hear the Father's voice. And I promise you, good neighbor, He'll let you know what He wants you to do. Amen. We ain't quitting because this is what the Father told us to do. Hey, I can only imagine somebody called David up and said, hey, David, what in the world are you doing out here on this battlefield this day? Well, all I'm doing is what my Father asked me to do. Well, let's look at verse 15 and verse 20. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And David, verse 20, rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. Amen. Not only are we not quitting because we've got a commission from the Father, but there is a flock to consider. No matter what part you are in the body of God, I mean, there's a flock to consider. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You're a member of the church. Amen. You're a member of that local body. Amen. You quit, it's going to affect the body. I mean, it's going to affect the preacher. It's going to affect the people. It's going to affect the children. It's going to affect everybody that's in that flock. It's going to affect them some negative way, some way, how, fashion, shape, or form. He didn't take the flock to battle. There's too many leading their flocks into battles they don't need to belong in. Amen to God. David didn't say, all right, little sheep, let's go to this battle. Amen. I tell you, there's some battles that the preachers are taking their flocks in that they don't need to be taking them into. Man, there's several things. The battles where somebody's got something to prove. Amen. And most of the time, beloved, when it comes to battles, especially when it's a battle between the brethren, and I'm going to preach a series on that, I think, coming up. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, there is a battle between the brethren from one end of the Bible to the other. And brother, we got to watch this. Most of the time, it ain't about doctrine. Most of the time, it ain't about worship. Most of the time, it's just about some personal vendetta that we've got with each other. Hey, our battle ain't with each other. Our battle is against the world and against the flesh and against the devil. And brother, I tell you, you better be careful as a man of God. As an evangelist, when a pastor trusts me with his flock and invites me in to come preach for him, I've got to be careful that I don't lead that pastor and that flock into a battle they don't need to be in. There's a flock to consider. A lot of times before we do what we do, we need to sit down and consider, how in the world is this going to affect the flock of God? I mean, boy, I tell you, sometimes we don't think, we don't sit down and count the cost, we don't pay attention, we don't look at the big picture. Oh, we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. But oh, you learn some things the hard way. And Lord, one of the things I've had to learn the hard way down through the years is sitting down and counting the cost and thinking things over and praying about things before you go. You better pick and choose your battles wisely. Amen. Especially if you're taking your family in there with you. Especially if you're going to take your flock in there with you. Especially if you're going to take your testimony in there with you. You better make sure. And David, he didn't take the flock to this battle. He needed to be there himself, and he needed to face the giant himself. Yes, it was a worthy cause. Yes, it was a fight that needed to be fought, but he didn't need to take his flock with him. Somebody help me out right there. Say amen. Amen. Not only do we ain't quitting because there's a flock to consider, but thirdly, today, I want you to think about this. We've got family that's counting on us. All of these men have families counting on them back home. Man, there's somebody, some way, fashion, shape, or form. If we quit or desert, what kind of message are we sending our children? Are we sending our wives? Are you sending your husband? Amen. You just go ahead and throw in the towel. I mean, throw your standards out the window, flush them down the toilet, turn your back on your biblical scripture your convictions. Just go to living like a world, looking like a world, acting like a world. What kind of message is that sending? Well, first of all, it's sending a message, hey, this ain't worth it. Neighbor, let me tell you something today. I mean, I ain't much, but I know this. It's been worth every mile, every trial, every heartache, every battle, every hill. I mean, it's been worth it all. It's worth it all just to be His child. It's worth it all to be in the family of God. Whatever battle we got, whatever fight we got coming down the line. Great God, don't forget, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth every bit of it. Amen. The message you send, it ain't worth it. Neighbor, it is worth it. Well, then there's another message you'll send. Well, this just ain't working out for me. Man, I'm going to tell you, nobody ever said it's going to be easy serving God. Amen. There ain't nothing easy about fighting the good fight of faith. Boy, there's going to be days you're going to cry while you're in the foxhole. There's going to be days when the fiery darts from the devil's going to be just bombarding our lives and our minds and our hearts and our homes and our churches. Amen. And you say, well, this just ain't thought like I thought it was going to be. Amen. When I first got in the ministry, compared to where I'm at right now, 25 years later, and I'm not some kind of super spiritual genius that knows everything, but still, if I knew then now what I knew, if I knew then what I know now, I'd still get in. Amen. I'd still serve the Lord. I'd still preach the gospel. I'd still go for God. I'd still walk with God. Why? Because it's working. Amen. I like what Brother Fane Jordan said one time. He said, God never promised us an easy trip. The only thing He ever promised us was a safe landing. Amen. But then the third message is, you say, well, I'm just worn out. I'm tired. Amen. The Bible said, be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We'll reap if we don't quit. What if David would have quit on God? What if David would have said, you know what, I've had enough of this. I ain't doing this no more. Oh, my goodness, boy. He wouldn't have gotten that, boy, the reward that he got for just simply doing what he did. Glory to God. Amen. There's a family that's counting on us. Your children need you. Your wife, your husband, your family needs you, sir. They need you to be consistent. They need you to fight. They're counting on you way back home. Amen. But then next today, let's study. There's a faith that just keeps calling us. Amen. It's like God was out in front of David saying, come on. And by faith, David, amen, went out there and he was himself. By faith, David got up the smooth stone. By faith, David used the sling. By faith, David smote the giant. By faith, David cut his head off. By faith, he took his head all the way back. By faith, David said, I'm not quitting. The Bible said, the just shall live by faith. The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There is a faith that just keeps calling us. Something on the inside. Just keep going. Walk one more mile. One more step. One more mile. I feel like quitting, Brother John. Preach one more message. Pray one more prayer. Amen. Go to church one more time. Thank God, just keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Amen. There's a faith that just keeps on calling us. Amen. But then next, there's a fight that needs to be contended. Verses 9 through 8, that Goliath was looking for a man to fight. Who's going to step up and fight the good fight of faith? Who's going to be that boy, that girl, that teenage boy, teenage girl, that man, that woman? Who's going to be that one person? You know what? I'm not giving in. If fighting's what we got to do, then that's what we got to do. And let me emphasize, not fighting each other, but we're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a fight, boy, to be contended with. Amen. Who's going to step up? Then next, we're going to study. Amen. There's a fear. If we don't quit, we're going to be overcome with fear. So we ain't quitting because to overcome a fear that would control us. Verse number 11, the Bible said, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, they had a fear about them that controlled them. They were so fearful of Goliath, so fearful of the Philistines, so fearful of what was going on that battlefield that day, that it literally controlled them. It controlled their emotions. It controlled their spirituality. It controlled their warfare. It controlled everything about them. Hey, neighbor, we need not to be controlled by fear. Hey, man, the psalmist said, whom shall I fear? He said, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Who are we going to fear? Man, I tell you, we're on the winning side, and we cannot let fear cause us to be so insecure. See, every one of these men on the side of that mountain that day, especially King Saul, were so full of fear that it caused them to be insecure in every area of their lives. You'll get insecure about what you're going to preach on. You'll get insecure about leading the singing. You'll get insecure about witnessing. You'll get insecure about your prayer life. You'll get insecure about being a husband or being a wife. Whatever. I mean, insecure on the job. And the thought will just come to you. And you'll start coming up with all the excuses you possibly can. Well, nobody knows what I've been through. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And hey, man, I just don't feel good today. And hey, man, hey, we're living by faith, not by feelings, good neighbor. If we let our feelings control us, and we're never going to do nothing for God. Hey, man, but we can't let this fear cause us to be insecure. Amen. We ought to be secure in our salvation, secure in our spirituality, secure in our Bibles, secure in our church, secure knowing that we are in the will of God. We ain't quitting. Why? So we can overcome a fear that would control us. And then lastly tonight, this morning, whenever it is, amen, we're not quitting because there's a future that will crown us. Now, beloved, David had been anointed to be the next king of Israel, but David wasn't the next king of Israel yet. David had not yet got to the throne, and David had not yet got crowned. And beloved, let me just put it to us this way. Hey, we are on our way to the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know what crowns you'll get. I don't know what crowns I'll get. I hope I can walk away from the judgment seat of Christ, hearing the words, "Enter thou, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And I hope I got a couple of crowns that one day I can cast them at the feet of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got a payday coming someday. Too many people, Ed, you don't hear nothing else I say today. There are too many people that are going to receive their reward here on earth. You like the pats on the backs. You like the compliments. You love your name up in lights. You've lived a life that's got everybody looking at you instead of looking at Jesus. You have chosen popularity over giving Jesus the preeminence. And good neighbor, you're not going to get a crown when you get to heaven. You're not going to get rewarded because you're getting your reward down here. Oh, but if we'll start living a life looking toward a crown, the possibility of multiple crowns, the possibility of that great payday coming someday. Now, I'm looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. Looking forward to it, maybe there's some good that's been done in my life and in my ministry. Oh, but I know that I've got a lot to give an account for, and anybody that's saved does. We all do. Hey, but I ain't quitting because there's a future that's going to crown us. And David one day was going to sit on the throne and be the king of Israel. But it wasn't just time for him just yet. And it just ain't time for us yet neither. Well, beloved, that's what we've got today for the podcast. I hope you'll be with us at the Mount Carmel Baptist Camp Meeting September the 19th through the 24th. Check us out on our webpage, MountCarmelBaptistCampMeeting.com. And God be with you till we meet again.